Thank you, and I would like to call the other speakers to the stage so we have a 10-minute discussion. Please come up. I don't know if Karen. Yep. So you could actually send your written questions we have there. People passing around. You can also come to the microphone. So while we wait for people to, there we go. I'll just get started with the first question to Michelle.
Yep.
And this is related to the specific issue of PKD, polycystic kidney disease patients. What's your experience and what you would advice in terms of genetic testing and ovule selection and this kind of new techniques?
Yeah, so that's actually important, and it's actually quite up and coming that we need to understand the notion that we could do pre-implantation genetics for some of our diseases. So there's a lot of women that don't want to do that as yet, but then there are others that actually will go through it. That does necessitate in vitro and some other procedures that they would have to do, but it is something that you should bear in mind for women with genetic diseases, that they could get counseling from a reproductive specialist about the potential for pre-implantation genetic testing. Testing and implantation.
Thank you very much. Question to Dr. Chen. How can we give oral bicarb in dialysis patients to avoid high dialysate bicarbonate?
Yes. Based on the study, a portion of dialysis patients being on oral sodium bicarbonate, multiple studies in hemo and PD patients showing that sodium bicarbonate on dialysis patients are very safe. It does not cause worsening fluid retention and does not alter blood pressure that much. So it's very well tolerated. Based on the study, 5 to 10% of people are on oral bicarbonate, and there's no contraindication for you to try that.
Thank you. So Maria, it's a question for you. Are adolescents on the priority track for kidney transplantation, in your opinion?
My opinion?
Yep.
We continue this argument in our specialty. There are a number of examples where the patients are a mess. They come from socioeconomic settings and family settings that are chaotic, who, for safety reasons or somehow they pass a psychological test for 6 months, showing 6 months of adherence, because they want a kidney bad and they don't want to be on dialysis anymore. And guess what? They do well post-transplant. That's the least number of examples, though, that I can give you, because there are the other patients that get the priority, get the kidney, and end up being teenagers. So I don't have an answer for that. I actually, I have mixed emotions, and it's always a very difficult decision to make whether or not to accept somebody in the transplant list. We are trying to be smarter about who should get an organ because of the organ shortage. But we have no information. So thank you for the very difficult question. I don't have an answer.
Well, thank you. Karen, there's a question about, should kidney patients undergo regular dermatology exams? And I would add to that, what's your view about how to do it? Should this be through education of the dermatology or from dermatologist to a nephrologist on how to screen patients, select the patients to be referred? Or is this really, or is there really a need to have regular consults with the skin specialist?
I think a lot of that is determined by how comfortable the nephrologist is looking at the skin. Certainly those patients at very high risk, patients who are post-transplant, patients who needed therapies in the past, like phototherapies for various conditions or something, I think a dermatologist might be a suggested way to screen those patients. But if a nephrologist feels very comfortable doing a good exam, I think that's reasonable. One does need to do a head-to-toe exam. One does need to take that time. I'm not sure that's always the best use of someone's time, if they have so many other things they're trying to manage. But there's no reason a nephrologist couldn't do it as long as they were interested and spent the time and energy at it.
How about self-examinations done by patients who be educated?
So we do that with all of our patients, and I make sort of a blanket recommendation of most of my patients that they do a monthly self-skin exam, often trying to get their partners involved if there is one, so that places that are difficult to see, they can look at each other. I would say that that's a hard sell on some patients. Usually those patients who've had skin cancers or other conditions are much more ready to do that. I think it's harder on patients who have a lot of other things they're dealing with and they don't see their skin as being a problem yet, at least in their life.
Good. Thank you. Dr. Chen, what about acid-base in patients on peritoneal dialysis was this question. A goal for serum bicarbonate in these patients and the problem with hypokalemia in those patients?
Yes, that's a very good question. It's really, the short answer is there has been a couple of very nice studies published in these patients. It's like a continuous, because the PD is a continuous modality. And a high bicarbonate in the dwelling seems to have a better protein catabolism profile and bone profile. That would be a population that you wanted to use an adequate amount of bicarbonate in the drain. It's very different dynamics with intermittent. And potassium supplementation is really very, very important. There is a few ways of doing it, but potassium should be supplement to a very nice range. Yeah,
we have studied this in a large cohort of PD patients and found that hypokalemia is very common in PD, much more common, and it has a clear impact on mortality. Okay, so Michelle, what do you do with salt restriction and diuretic use in pregnant women with preeclampsia?
So there's no evidence. There's actually no evidence for salt restriction, unfortunately, once you're... Now, definitely I've had some very severe nephrotics that were sitting there eating big bags of potato chips, and I said maybe that's not such a good idea. But unfortunately, sort of once that's all started, there's no evidence that any of that makes any difference.
Good.
Now, that being said, it hasn't been studied very vigorously either.
Question to Karen. Why do ESRD patients develop hyperpigmentation?
It's believed that that has to do with the fact that melanin is stimulated by some of the factors in the blood that are not dialyzable, but it's really not well known. There's a lot of controversy regarding that.
Very good. Dr. Chen again. Can high salt intake cause osteoporosis via the development of acidosis?
Yeah, so there was a very nice study published, I think in 2016, either Jason or KI, looking at a pediatric population. High salt diet seems to, because high salt transiently raise serum osmolality because of the salt increase, but not to the point that triggers stirs the mechanism, so you have a lagging behind of drinking water. So you have a transient period of high osmolality, and that actually trigger AVP increase because the AVP is exquisitely sensitive to a small change in serum sodium concentration, even within normal range. But the issue with AVP is not exclusively going into the posterior pituitary. It goes along the portal vessels to the anterior pituitary, actually stimulated ACTH, increases cortisol level. That has been really very well studied out. Also through vasopressin V2 receptor mechanism in the adrenal medulla, there's endocrine cells, resident endocrine cells respond to the AVP. And in children on high salt diet or high protein cause a degree of acidosis or increase the AVP actually translate to reduce the muscle growth and also bone health. So there's a very nice study in the population. So it could be significant in terms of the diet, and we need to pay attention.
Good. My question to Maria, for female adolescents, PD or hemo?
We in pediatrics are very partial to peritoneal dialysis. But let me tell you what's happening, at least in the U.S. If you look at the U.S. RDS population, adolescents with end-stage kidney disease that are older than 16 years of age are actually an adult dialysis unit. And adult dialysis units traditionally go to hemodialysis first. I think it's a patient choice, but in our pediatric view, peritoneal dialysis is a better way of treating patients because it allows for them time to go to school and participate in sports, and they can swim and things like that. So for us, peritoneal dialysis is a better option.
Thank you. Michelle, how do you treat lupus flares in pregnancy?
So lupus flares in pregnancy, you would still treat with pulse methylprednisolone. You could still give them a pulse of steroids. And then we use combination immunosuppression. So somebody who had a very severe flare may get pulsed. If they weren't on Imuran, they'd be put on Imuran. And then you could use the calcineurin inhibitors depending on their serum creatinine level. So again, we would use combination immunosuppression and pulse. But, you know, a very severe flare early on in pregnancy can be life-threatening, so you do have to sometimes discuss termination as well.
Good. Karen, when you do skin biopsies in calciphylaxis, or patients you're suspecting calciphylaxis with a difficult diagnosis?
Yeah. You know, if you have a patient with really any of the skin signs, as soon as you think you recognize them, that's the time to do the biopsy. The earlier, the better. You're going to early on see the calcification in the vessels and in the fat. It'd be nice if we got most of the patients to biopsy before there is ulceration and eschar development. We don't usually get them until they're at least bolus to look at, but you can make that diagnosis much earlier. So the sooner, the better.
Well, thank you very much. We are 2 minutes. Oh, one last question there. So it's about lupus diagnosis during pregnancy. How do you go ahead with immunosuppression with a proliferative class 4 lupus?
Are you asking if I should biopsy her? No?
For the first time, she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Again, you're going with... Yeah. Yeah, so again, you still only have your same options, right? You only have your methylprednisolone pulse, you have Imuran, and you have a calcineurin inhibitor. And you know that there is some data now outside of pregnancy that combination can be an effective option. So that's what we would do to treat her, but we would be watching her very carefully if she was losing kidney function. Again, these are indications for, again, termination if you're early, delivery if you're late.
Okay, so I would like to thank the speakers for keeping up with time, especially giving very quick answers to all the questions that were asked, so that we could actually entertain everybody's doubts. I'd like to now close the session and wish you a wonderful evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.